And for the reading of God's Word, we're going to be in Mark chapter 5. And I have four principles that we're going to look at, and we're going to look at each one very briefly. So we'll try to really listen to the text during when we read the scriptures, because this is a beautiful story. This story could be used in looking at what it means to come to Christ for salvation, as well as if you're a mom or a dad or anyone in here this morning and you feel like you're stuck in a rut in your spiritual walk, I pray that this morning this would encourage you. So let's begin in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well," or made you whole. "Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray this morning that you would apply it to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was thinking this morning, I remember last year's Mother's Day, and I remember during the service that every now and then a phone would ring over here or a phone would ring over there. And you know, what we have today is we have a lot of expecting moms. A lot of expecting moms, expecting a card, expecting a lunch. Amen. All of us win for that. Expecting maybe some house cleaning. I mean, there's lots of expectations. And so we are so happy and so proud for each of you moms that is here today. And I just want to say thank you for Miss Fran for everything that you said, because it's so true. When you prioritize motherhood or even fatherhood, when it comes down to it, it's about leading those kids to Christ. I wonder how many, if we had time, could get up right now and share that their mother led them to Jesus, or maybe a grandmother led them to Jesus. I know a few right now that have been led to the Lord by either a parent or a grandparent. And we've baptized some in that case. So we appreciate you this morning. The first thing I want to look at, the first principle here, is ask God to use your circumstance for his glory. Look at verse 26. Now here's this woman. She's had this issue. I like the King James Version. She had an issue with blood that had lasted for 12 years. Now before we get too far into this, I want you to realize something. This is not about just about getting a physical healing. There was so much more to it. Sometimes God chooses not to give us a physical healing. We can pray for it, and we can just have all the faith in the world, and for whatever reason, because of his glory and something he's doing, sometimes he chooses not to. Then there is times that God chooses to answer our prayers and give a physical healing. We see that all the time. And so don't base this. You may say after the sermon today, "Well, I've got this illness. I've been praying for this illness for 20 years or 10 years or 3 years. And I still hadn't been healed of it, and I've been believing God, and I feel like that my faith is strong." Listen, never let Scripture fool you. You have to understand that God has a will. So when you're reading Scripture, read it in a way that you take it with Jesus in the center. In other words, not when I say don't let Scripture fool you, what I mean by that is don't take, when you read about a healing, and think that, well, if I hadn't been healed, God must not be God. Let me tell you, he honors his word, but he also honors his sovereign will. God has a sovereign will. And I had a father that had cancer, and he had had cancer for many years, diagnosed in 2000. And he lived way, way beyond the expectations that the doctors had given him. We trusted the Lord. We believed the Lord. He believed the Lord. And God gave him many, many more years with that cancer. And then you'll hear of some that'll get cancer and then they're gone, just like that. And so don't judge God's love for you based on whether or not you get a healing. Judge his love on you based on the cross. He demonstrated it right there. Now let's get started in the scripture. And so here's this lady that had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but began to grow worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And so what the encouragement that we can find in this today is this. Whatever your circumstance, here's the key. Make sure that you give that circumstance to God so that he can convert it for his glory. Use it for his glory. That's what the Lord is looking for. But this woman had this condition that had lasted for 12 years, and it affected her physically. It affected her emotionally. By the way, in that day, and you can read Leviticus 15, in that day she was a social outcast because of this. She was to continue in a being ceremonial unclean. It affected her worship. She couldn't do temple worship. It affected her financially. The Bible says she had spent all that she had and didn't get any better. Have you ever felt like that? You just have this issue that never goes away. And maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's social. Maybe it's spiritual. And I can tell you, as a pastor and working with moms, moms get depressed sometimes. Moms have a lot on their plate. And the expectations that we put on moms sometimes are just not realistic. You know, we think back. I was reading this morning about a scrapbook copy of where a Kentucky grandmother, the family years later had found this in her scrapbook, but she had sent a letter to this lady, and it was in its original form about how to wash clothes. And it was a brand new bride, and she wanted to help this bride to understand how to wash her clothes. And in that, she sent the letter all about how to get that done. And so I want to read just a few of the things that was involved in how to wash clothes back in the day. And the circumstances back in their day was difficult. And some say, well, what about today? It's still difficult. It really is. Because today there's more demands. We live in a busy lifestyle. We have telephones. We have computers. We have all these different things that just create burdens on our moms. There's a lot of financial stress on our moms. But listen to how they had to wash clothes back then. And by the way, everything is misspelled, because this is what I'm reading is exactly the way it was found in the scrapbook, worded the same way. She said, you need to build a fire in the backyard to heat kettle with rainwater. Set tubs so smoke won't blow in your eyes, especially if the wind is pert. Shave one whole cake of lye soap and boiling water. Sort things, make three piles, one pile white, one pile colored, one pile work breeches and rags. To make starch, stir flour in cool water to smooth, then thin down with boiling water. Take white things, rub dirty spots on board, scrub hard, and then boil. Rub colored, don't boil. Just rinse and starch. Take things out of kettle with a broomstick handle and then rinse and starch. Hang old rags on the fence. Spread tea towels on the grass. Pour rinsed water in the flower bed. Turn tubs upside down. Go put on clean dress. Smooth hair with combs. Brew cup of tea. Sit and rock a spell and count your blessings. And I've got a feeling there's some in here today that maybe have lived in the era where they got to witness some of that. And so our circumstances are only as good as how we let God be glorified through them. All of us have stress. All of us have circumstances. But the key to your circumstance is give it to the Lord and say, God, use this. Whatever I'm going through, whatever my stress, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning and God, I'm giving you that circumstance and use it for your glory. You'll find you're a ready witness to testify to the Lord, and you'll find that you're ready to pray and to live for Jesus Christ. But then secondly, grab hold of the garment of God's Word. Now I want to show you something here, and in fact I've got the scripture that Frankie can put on the screen, but look at Matthew 14:35 and 36. Grab hold of the garment of God's Word. The Bible says, and when the men of that place recognized him they sent out into all that surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem, and it's the hem I want to focus on, the hem of his garment, and as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Why is it that in Scripture, in other accounts besides this account, that they were after the hem of the garment? Because the hem of the garment represented God's Word. And when you get a hold of the Word of God, that's when you're going to have the promises of God, especially through the living Word, which is Jesus Christ, that is going to give you that supernatural strength that you need to trust the Lord by faith. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. I think, Frankie, that might be on there as well. He says, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits. So the Lord is healing those that have unclean spirits. And they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. For power went out from him and healed them all. Now, let's look at what happened right here. So look at verse 28. By the way, have you ever had so many issues in your life that you start talking to yourself? This is what she's doing. She's talking to herself. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes. By the way, in the original Greek, she's saying this over and over. As she is coming to Jesus, knowing that she is unclean, not supposed to touch anybody, knowing that if she touches Jesus, she's making Jesus ceremonially unclean. That's why she was afraid when Jesus said, who touched me? And so here she is, an outcast. She feels hopeless. She's financially broke. She's emotionally bankrupt. And she comes up behind him and she's saying, as she tries to get through the crowd to get to Jesus, I just got to touch his clothes. I just got to touch the hem of his garment. And I shall be made well. That word is sozo, meaning complete, whole. And then what happens in verse 29? Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? In the Scriptures, Deuteronomy 22:12, the Bible says, you shall make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. Scholars believe that Jesus had either the four tassels on that single garment that he typically wore, and that also, being a good teacher and considered a rabbi by many Jews, Jesus would have had a prayer shawl. And I don't know if you've ever seen a prayer shawl, but this is a prayer shawl that was made in Israel. And on those prayer shawls, or on that garment that he wore, there would have been tassels. And the Bible says in Numbers that it was to have a fine blue linen woven into the tassel. Now this one has, each knot represents the law of the Lord. And this is the prayer shawl that they would wear, something similar to this. And each one of these tassels, see how long the tassels are in the corners? Let me hold it out like this. There's four long tassels on the prayer shawl. Four long tassels that would be on the garment of Jesus. And she was a Jewish woman. She would have understood that the hem of his garment, that those tassels represent the law of the Lord, represent the word of the Lord. And so here's this woman. Now, you know what it took in order for her to grab hold of the garment? She wants to get a hold of the promises of God's Word. Now, listen, it's real important. If you're going through an issue or you're going through a situation, not only do you, first of all, because this is where it starts in the mind, first of all, you've got to, according to the Word of God, what do? We cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. You've got to literally say, God, use my circumstance for your glory, instead of, Lord, how can I get out of this in my own wisdom? Because you'll be searching for the rest of your life trying to get out of something in your own wisdom. And so you give it to the Lord. Secondly, you've got to grab hold of the garment of God's Word. He's given us the tassel right here. We have the knots in the tassel right here, the Word of God. And it is the living Word of God. And so when we grab hold of the Word of God and we believe in the promises of God, that's what changes our heart concerning our circumstance. That lifts our spirits. That encourages our heart. That makes us have a merry heart. I love a merry heart. I love it when Teresa has a very, very merry heart. And Yesterday, I took her to Cracker Barrel, and I took her to Yamato's the day before. I love Mother's Day. And she was able to buy some clothes at Cracker Barrel, and she had such a merry heart yesterday. I'm thinking about sending my I love you cards to Cracker Barrel and thanking them for those special occasions. And so when we give our, we grab hold of the garment of God's word, what does it do? It changes our heart so that we see our circumstance through the lens of the word of God. That's how it changes it. And that's what she's doing. Now look at the third point. She had to come, she had to humbly trust and be honest with God in how she felt. So humbly trust and be honest with God in how you feel. You know, it's interesting to me that whenever she came, what did it require when she came to Jesus to get a hold of that knot? Those tassels were low. She had to bow down. She had to get low, and she had to get humble to get a hold of the hem of his garment. If you and I are going to expect help from the Lord, then it requires humility. We've got to be willing to get low, willing to get in prayer, willing to get in the Word of God and get low before the Lord. And then when we grab hold, that word that's used for touch in the Greek is a word for grabbing hold of and hanging on to. And this woman grabbed hold of the Word of God, and the Bible says that Jesus felt power go out from him. And you say, well, was he not aware of what just happened? No, he was aware, but he wanted her to acknowledge what she had done. And that power went out from him. Listen, when you pray, Romans 8:26 is clear on this. When you pray and you bow your head as a born-again believer and you're trusting in the Lord and you bow your head, the Spirit of God bows his head with you. And I mean immediately, the power of God has to leave heaven. You say, why is that? Because Jesus is your advocate, and he is the intercessor that's standing at the right hand of God. And when you get low before the Lord, and you start pouring out your feelings in honesty to the Lord, you can't fool the Lord. He knows your heart better than you do. And you just be honest with God with your life, honest with God with your issues, and you say, God, I want to glorify you in this. God, I want to find the scriptures that will get me through this. God, lead me in your word. Speak to me through your word. Let your Holy Spirit just come alive in my heart. And when you do that, you'll find that his power is issued out by the Spirit of God into your heart. I can't tell you how many times, and I know we say this a lot, but whenever there's a family crisis in our home, we try to pray as a family. If we're going down the highway, sometimes we just pull over. I learned a long time ago, don't shut your eyes when you're driving. We had this prayer list that we started, and I hadn't been a Christian but about 2 years, and I decided I was going to pray the list on the way to work. Had about a 15-mile drive, and I'm going down a blacktop road, just left Trace and I's house, and I top a hill, and I decided, well, I guess I need to really have my head bowed for this thing to be real, this prayer. I was brand new in the Lord, and so I bowed my head, and I aimed my vehicle in the right direction. Next thing I know, I'm in the ditch on the left side, nearly taking out a barbed wire fence. Scared me half to death. The Lord hears your prayers with your eyes wide open, and he hears your prayers with your eyes wide closed. He hears them both ways. And so we need to pray, and we need to humbly trust. You know, in Hawaii, we've been keeping up with the news on this volcano, and there's some things called fissures, not like a fish, but F-I-S-S-U-R-E-S, and they're vents. They're just these long lateral vents that open up in the earth, and it allows the earth to vent around these volcanic eruptions. But you know what I have found? That we tend to vent, and we need to. We need to vent to each other. But sometimes we don't vent to God. God wants us to cast our cares on him. How can we if we don't vent to him? If you're in a situation or a circumstance and you're going through issues and you're just feeling like you're stuck in a rut and you don't have any purpose in life and you're wondering, God, what's next? You need to spend some time with the Lord and vent to him and just be honest with the Lord. Get that out of your system with the Lord. And I'll tell you what will happen. Vent with the Word of God. I have a journal that I keep at the house, and it's just blank pages in it. And get a journal out, get an ink pen out, and open the Bible, and just watch what God does as you get in the Word, and you vent your problems to him. He will begin to guide you in the Word. And that's what he does, in a sense, with this lady. Look at what happens next. The last one is, share your testimony of God's power with others. If God does something in your life and you're not sharing it, that it's a slap in the face of the Lord. If God is blessing you, if God is taking care of you, if God got you through something, He expects you to share that and to tell somebody about it so that they can benefit from what has happened with you. It gives them encouragement and hope to trust the Lord as well. And so look at what happens, starting verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But His disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Now, there was a lot of people touching Jesus, and there was a lot of people touching His clothes. But there was only one that touched Him by faith, and that's the difference. Look at verse 32. And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, why? Because she was unclean, and she just touched Jesus. Knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him, watch this, the whole truth. Now, it's awesome to me that Jesus is actually on His way to heal Jairus' daughter, but He stops and He has time for this lady, and He has time to listen to her share her entire story with Him and what happened to her when she touched the hem of His garment. Now look at verse 34. There's a lot right here. We could actually preach a message right here in verse 34. And He said to her, now watch this, daughter, daughter. Remember in verse 31, who touched me? We get to verse 34, daughter. Her healing was not just physical, it was spiritual. He says, your faith has made you well. The word for well there is whole, complete. Look at what He says, go in peace. And then watch the wording right here. Now we know she was physically healed immediately because we read that just a few minutes ago. But He says, and be healed of your affliction. This woman had to begin to be healed of all that the affliction had done in her life, emotionally, financially, spiritually, in every way. And He says, you go and go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Don't let the circumstance drag you down the way it did before. Walk in your healing. Now that's the message for us today. You have to walk in your healing. You say, well, I've never been healed physically. That's not what I mean. You've been healed spiritually. You've got to walk in that healing. You've got to go and walk in the healing. That means there's time that you got to spend at the hem of His garment. That means there's time that you're going to have, because we live in these bodies that are subject to sickness. They're subject to all kinds of things. We're subject to financial pressure, stress, family stress. And listen, the key to getting through all of that is in how you walk through the affliction. How do you walk from it? And that is walking in Jesus Christ. There's that song, He walks with me and talks with me. I love that song. And He does. He really does. So share your testimony. I want to put a scripture up real quick, and then we'll conclude with that. But Jude chapter 20. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you have more than that, Frankie? That's it. Let me flip back here. Jude is right before Revelation. Let me share with you what he says here. But you, beloved, building yourselves up. You got to build yourselves up. How? On your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Casting your cares upon the Lord. I believe that the Word of God and prayer is essential. Keep yourselves. Watch this. If you ever say, well, I just don't feel loved, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look at the expectation when you do this. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can put Hebrews 4:16 right there. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, look at the testimony that is formed from that. Look at verse 22. This is not the writer of Jude losing track. He's still on a continued thought. He says, and on some have compassion, making a distinction, But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. You see, when you're walking in the Lord, your love for the lost and your love for others will bloom. Look at verse 24. Here's the promise. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless, that's what the cross does, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, he says, and here's your praise, the last verse here. He says, to God our Savior, who alone is wise. You need wisdom. Be glory and majesty. Do you need a master, someone to reign over you that knows what's right, that knows how to direct you? He has majesty and dominion and power. Now, both now. That means it's yours to have. And forever. Amen. Is that powerful or what? That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Years ago, there was a Christian mom that was feeling stuck in her life. She felt like she didn't have any purpose. And just by chance, she ran into Mother Teresa. Y'all remember Mother Teresa? And she knew that Mother Teresa did a lot of social things to help others, and she just thought it'd be neat to get to meet her. And so she thought, well, how can I talk to her? So she decided to write a check and give that to her and say, use this for some of your social causes. And Mother Teresa took the check and handed it back to her, could sense in her spirit that this was a woman that was downcast. And Mother Teresa says, I don't want your money. She said, when you return home, I want you to look about you. When you look, I want you to see. And what you see, I want you to do something about it. So maybe you have something you need to do something about this morning. Maybe this morning you've never done something about your relationship to God. You've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, and He died on the cross for your sins. He loves you. He demonstrated it on the cross, and His blood paid your sin debt. He paid a debt that He did not owe, and you owed a debt that you could not pay. Would you put your faith in Jesus Christ this morning? Ask Him to forgive you of all of your sins, to come into your heart, and make a decision in your heart that you're going to follow Him the rest of your life. Would you do that this morning? Maybe you need to do something about your issue or your circumstance. Your circumstance has got you down. You've become a prisoner to it. And you feel like there's no hope, nothing to change. And it's just keeping you down, keeping you depressed. Would you give that circumstance to the Lord and just say, God, I give you this circumstance. You know my heart. And Lord, I want you to use it for your glory. And maybe you need to do something about the hem of the garment. He's given you His Word. He's given you His Holy Spirit that convicts you and that tries to get you to get into His Word. But the old devil comes and has an excuse every time to keep you out of the Word of God. Will you take your circumstance, get a hold of the hem of His garment, the hem of the garment of His Word, and just believe His Word, trust in His Word, ask God to let the Word penetrate your heart. Write down those verses that speak to your heart and what they said to you, and just live trusting in the Lord. And then lastly, as God ministers to your heart, do not keep it to yourself. Promise the Lord that you will call somebody and share with somebody what Jesus is doing in your life. Heavenly Father, do in our hearts what only You can do. In Jesus' name, amen.